Cool, guys. Now, as I said earlier, I'm glad that everyone was able to make it into the room. I grew up in a small town in northern KwaZulu-Natal, and they had this tradition there, right? Where we would, and I think some churches will do it. You arrive at New Year's Eve at about 10 o'clock at night, and then you kind of play games, and you hang around, and you do stuff, and then you pray into the new year. You guys, it's a really cool tradition. However, as I got older, I realized I actually really do enjoy my sleep. And so that really became a trial. So I'm glad that we didn't do it this year. But those of you that managed to do that, well done. But one of the great times where this was possible, it's quite echoey at the moment. Is that normal? Okay. While the as we spend time talking about the year, you would hear stories, right? People talk about what their year was like and kind of give testimonies of like why God has been good and he's been faithful and he's carried us through things. And so I think this is where I've actually really enjoyed stories, hearing stories and, you know, finding out what's going on. And I thought it would be appropriate today that we actually do a story, right? But based on a passage of scripture. So if you want to know, it comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, but it's actually 1 to 12. It's a section. And it's actually a story that is part of the narrative stories. Now, I say narrative stories, not that there's multiple stories, but there's actually different elements to the Christmas narrative or the nativity. We often truncate it together and we make it one story. So when you do the nativity, you kind of do Jesus is born, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, all in one story. They're all arriving at the same place. But the reality is that took up over quite a bit of time, right? So the shepherds, the angels singing to the shepherds coming to see Jesus in the stable where he was in the manger. And then the story of the Magi or the wise men probably took place 13 to 24 months later. Okay, so Jesus is probably close to over 2 years old when the Magi arrive. And so I thought it would be interesting to us to look at that. So I kind of spent the week reading up as much as we can about the Magi. We actually don't have much information on the Magi, guys, just because it's only found in the book of Matthew. And it's those 12 verses that speak about it. But there are hints here and there that help give us information. So the story we're going to be doing is the story of the Magi, the scholars. And they find themselves on this journey. They find themselves on this rickety road, dusty, hot, air blowing, and it's kind of inconvenient. Now, these guys are not travelers. They are not your average merchants. In fact, as I said, they're scholars. They spend their days studying ancient scrolls, studying the stars, studying things, trying to make sense of all the things that's around them. And they've spent many years doing that, and that's what they've been known for doing, studying. But they find themselves on this road. And they kind of wonder, and I suppose the question is, how did they end up from the scholarly towers in the land of Babylon to this rickety old road? And I remember there was one day, all of them were in the castle, busy talking, doing the things that scholars do. Academics kind of sit around, discuss academic things. And as they were sitting and doing that, one of the stone merchants came running in, and all he was panicked, and he was saying something about the sky was going to fall on his head. And so they kind of calmed him down with some spiced tea and said, like, what's going on? Explain to us. What's going on? What's happening? He says, look to the west. Look to the west. There's a star. There's a star in the sky. It's huge. It's there. And so they kind of looked, and they all kind of went, wow, none of us ever noticed the star before, right? What is it doing there? Why is it this? And so they kind of gathered, and as good academics do, they gather around and they start to chat. Okay, what does this mean? Where does this come from? Why this particular constellation? Has it anything to do? And so they did all their work and they studied and they spent days kind of wandering and walking out until one of the chief scholars amongst them kind of said, you know what? This reminds me of something. Back in the day, I used to study ancient scripts. I used to study ancient letters, particularly from the land of the Hebrews. And this kind of perked everyone's interest up. Why? You see, these scholars, they were part of a group of people that followed a tradition of learning and studying, which was instituted by a Hebrew prince many years before that had settled in their land. This prince was brought from his land and he was a man of high integrity,
a man that everyone kind of looked to. In fact, so much so that the king of the time made him prime minister over Babylon. And this man was well respected, and he had these traditions of scholarliness where he would take things and read and understand and try and process. And so this whole tradition of scholarliness came from this man. And so often they would go back to this man called Daniel. They would go back to this Daniel's writings, and he brought all the Hebrew scriptures, and he would write about it and try to understand it. And often they would try and work out, what does Daniel mean? What is he trying to do? From the ancient scripts, the Torah, what was the stuff that he was trying to understand? And often it was quite complicated, okay? It was not the most easiest thing to understand, because he wrote with very weird thoughts, and there were ideas and stuff, and kind of threw it through a lot of people. And most of these guys would say, I don't get it, but it's quite interesting. And so this scholar says, well, there's something that Daniel had written, and it's found in the book of Numbers. I think it's Numbers 4 and 5, if you can look in your Bible, or also found in the book of Micah, chapter 2, verse 5, chapters 5, 2 and chapter 5. So they were reading the script, and it came to tell the story of the coming of this king. The coming of a king who was going to change the way, this is the promised coming king. And so they all kind of looked at it, and for the first time in many years, they kind of looked at each other and says, wow, the star, yes, that's something what Daniel said many years before. This could be it. This could be it. This could be the one that was promised. And so very quickly, they gathered things together and they sat down. They said, look, we need to take the top three guys, first one that understand the stuff. I think we need to follow that star and go west to the land of the Hebrews. Now, this wasn't a big decision to make, or it wasn't an easy decision to make, because by this stage, the land of the Hebrews, which is, you know, west of Babylon, it was a great nation. It was once a great nation, but over time has become a bit decrepit, a bit dangerous. You know, it has some weird leaders. It's always problematic. And so for them to actually travel, leave the greatness of Babylon and go down to this kind of waning city was a big deal. But they thought, well, you know, this is the closest we've ever had to understanding Daniel. So let's do this, shall we? And so the three of them, three guys who headed up the different departments, I guess, kind of gathered together, put their stuff together and said, right, we're going to go. But before they left, they said, well, you know, we are meeting with a king. So we should take something that's important. So each of them kind of went like, let's see, what can we do? What can we take that would be important? And each of them decided, okay, it's royalty, so they're going to each take a gift. And each of them chose a gift, their own gift. And they packed it, and they left. And they've now been on the road for a few months, just enjoying the scenery, which wasn't great. And it was hot, and it was bothering, and they were driving smelly and rather stubborn camels at times. And so it was a long journey, but they did it. They had a purpose. They're heading to Jerusalem. And they traveled. And it wasn't the easiest road. There were bandits. There were thieves that were on these roads. These were wealthy men. These were guys that they didn't dress like normal merchants. They obviously dressed in scholarly, which meant they showed their wealth kind of when they walked. So it was always a dangerous thing to be doing. And they traveled across and along this road, all the way heading west, following the star that seemed to be calling them in the distance. Over the next few months of traveling, they eventually met up with different merchants along the way, kind of explained what they're doing. The merchants kind of gave them ideas, which is the best way to travel. And they eventually arrive at the gates of a city, the city on the hill, Jerusalem. Obviously, arriving with all the fellow travelers with them, it was quite a big group. They kind of were a bit disappointed when they got to the gates, because, I don't know, they didn't know what they were expecting. They were expecting to see something important, right? But they got there and they were like, it's a bustling city, cool, and we're here. Now where to? And while they kind of stood around chatting to themselves, going, what do I do? Where do I go to? Like, I don't know, we arrived. An invitation came that the king in Jerusalem would like to see them. An invitation to the king. Now, initially excited, whoa, the king wants to see us, this is pretty cool. But see, the king in Jerusalem had a bit of a reputation. He wasn't the most stable guy. He wasn't the most nicest guy. Always did something
what he could get out of it. So they kind of went to meet with this king, kind of just like, ooh, we just don't know, this doesn't feel right. They arrived, the king seemed polite enough. He asked them who they were and they kind of explained, you know, they're scholars, that we've been traveling all the way from Babylon. We've been reading the ancient scriptures and we see the star that's now here, seems to be over this area. We've been following it. We've come because we want to meet the king. The king seemed to be excited, but it's one of those things when you look at someone in the eye that his words and his actions betray the look in his eye. And all three of them kind of felt very uncomfortable around this king. And even though he says, oh, please stay in my palace, please come, eat, have some food. I will have my men to come in, my scholars to come and read the scriptures with you, and we'll try to figure this out. Because I want to meet this king that's coming. I want to meet him too. I want to worship him because he's the promised one. There was just something about the way he acted that really made them uncomfortable, to which they kind of were like, thank you, but you know, we've already got places that we're going to be lodging. We've all settled. We want to rest. It's okay. Thank you very much, king. The king left them out the court and kind of went back to their places. And as they all got out, they kind of said to each other, I don't know about you, but that didn't seem to be the king I was expecting, right? He wasn't. Yes, he had all the robes. Yes, he had all the things that was expected of a king. He had people running to and fro. He had soldiers. But there was something about him that wasn't right. Something that just, they couldn't put their finger on it. And as they sat down, all three of the leaders amongst them kind of realized in their rush to get to the king, they had forgotten to take their gifts. That was still all packed up with the camels. And so they were like, oh, well, chief, we didn't do that. But let's get some rest. Let's sleep tonight. Wake up in the morning. We can talk about what's the way forward. So next morning, they were up early, ate breakfast, kind of looked around, wandered around the city a little bit, trying to get a glimpse. Noticed that the celestial being that was up in the sky seemed to them beckoning further away from the city. So that afternoon, they gathered to say, let's keep following the star the way we've always have. Maybe it's not here. It seems to be the city of Jerusalem, but it's not. And so they packed their things and they continued following the star. And it seemed as the day went on, they were being called further and further outside the hustle and bustle of the city, away from all the action, away from the rich merchants and all the people that were selling their wares, away from all the important buildings and important legislative offices and all the things that would make a great city a great city. They seem to be led further and further away from what they thought would be important, what they thought would be what it should look like for a king. It wasn't. They were actually being led out of the city. And as the day went on, they found themselves further and further into the farmland, into the countryside. Occasionally walking past a peasant, occasionally walking past poor beggars on the road. They suddenly began to realize they had moved away from what was the action of the most exciting city of the place into the countryside, far away from all the things that was expected of a king. They spent the day and at night, they put the animals down. They said, okay, we're gonna rest. And they looked up into the night sky, which was beautiful. And they looked at the star and it seemed that the star was actually over a little farmhouse in the distance. And they looked at each other and they spoke about it. And they're like, well, we've got nothing to lose. We might as well just go and take a look. It's a farmhouse, it's not too far away. And they walked over to this farmhouse. And the sun was setting, so it wasn't too dark just yet. It was still in the in-between night and day, I suppose. It was in that moment they arrived, and they arrived at the farmhouse. It was a neat little house, nothing spectacular, normal house, tiny. There was a man in the front garden busy sweeping and cleaning, and they kind of walked up to the gate, and he kind of looked over them in a rather tired look that dads generally get at the end of the day. He looked at them and said, hi, can I help? And they were like, well, this is it. We see the star. We've been following that star. We would like to come and, you know, I don't know, see the star. It's over your house. you know? Obviously, they kind of ummed and awed over this. And the man kind of looked at them, and then there was a big smile on his tired face, and he says, "Ah, I know what you're here for. Come on in, come on in." They're inside. And they kind of looked at each other, like, okay, let's go. And as they walked into the courtyard, they found these little, it wasn't the neatest courtyard. There was stuff everywhere. There were toys everywhere, wooden carved toys lying, hanging around all over the place. And they kind of had to like step over it without stepping on things. And they kind of walked in. They got to the house and there was a fire in the corner and there was something cooking on the fire. But it was a neat, little neat house. And he says, "Come in, come in, come in." And they were like, "Okay, we're coming in." And they walked in and they looked around, and it was a small house and there was an outer room. And he goes, I'll just go and check if they're okay. And there was a knock on the door. And from inside they heard like a yes. And it was like, Mary, there's some people here. Some people here to see him. And it was like, now, it's kind of late. It's like, yeah, I know, they just arrived. Okay, give me a moment, please. And so he opened the door and they kind of walked in and they were greeted to chaos. There was laughter, there was things being thrown around, there was a little kid laughing on the floor while his mother was trying to put his night clothes on, and he was laughing and tickling her, and she was tickling him, which probably didn't help the situation. And it was just noise everywhere, and it was not the scene that these men had expected. They were expecting this holy, angelic, everything quiet, everything amazing. No, it was not. It was loud. And this kid was laughing and the mom was like, I'm sorry. He's just really excited. He gets to stand at night when it's time for sleep. We just can never get him down. And they were trying to pull his clothes on and he was laughing. And then he saw the man walk in and he looked up and he was like, "Yeah!" And so his father picked him up and threw him up in the air and they were laughing again. And in those moments, these three scholars kind of stood around in the corner observing what was taking place in this house. See, in those few moments, they got to watch these three people being a family, an everyday, normal family. What almost seemed nothing special, yet at the same time, perfect in every way. And after a little while, the chuckling and the laughing from the little boy as he was being played with, he suddenly noticed that there were these men, strange men in his room, kind of staring at him. And he shyly got up and stood behind his mom and stuck his head out from the back to watch what was going on. And his mother, a young girl, says, "Sorry about that. It's just that time of day. It's just a bit crazy. Please sit down. You look tired. Have a seat. We can get you something to eat." And they were like, "Why, thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much." And they sat down. And yet they were still watching this little kid sitting on the floor who kind of was just watching them. And every now and then a little smile breaks on his face and he chuckles. And then slowly, as the night went on, kind of toddled over to them, began to make friends with them, you know, offering them his bowl with his food in it, kind of pulling on their ears, pulling on their clothes, looking at them as these strange men. And the men very quickly got taken by this little boy who was just fun. He was a little boy. And so the lady sat down and said, "So you've come to see us?" And so this, taken a little back by what was happening, the man stood up and says, "Well, here's the thing. We scholars, okay, we come from Babylon. In fact, we've been reading the ancient scriptures. And we saw the sky, the light in the sky. We saw the celestial being. We read the scriptures. We made it real. We made the contact. We made the assumption from reading that this is about the coming king. And so we've just followed the star. We spent 3 months on the road following the star. We've even met the king in Jerusalem. But yet the star didn't seem to stop there. And he followed it. We followed it all the way. And it's led us to your house." And as they shared, as they spoke, the mother and the father just quietly nodded and smiled. Mother in particular was interesting. As they told the story, it was almost as if she was taking that information and hiding it in her heart. because she knew something more was about this. And at the end, they looked at each other, the mom and father, and quietly, in their tongue, thanked God, as if to say they knew this was coming. And so these three men said, I don't know what else to do, but if what we read is true, and it seems to be true because it's taken us, it's proved everywhere along the way being true, we are standing in the presence of God, of the true King. And in those moments, these three scholars took time to worship God in the chaos. And in that time, while they were speaking, the little boy had come and settled down on his mum, had kind of put his head back and had nodded off to sleep and was silently snoring while everything was happening around him, peacefully. And if anyone has little kids, they don't sleep peacefully. The leg was on his head and, you know, it was like all over the place. But he was just there sleeping and these men just spoke of it. And then they said, we actually have some gifts that we need to present to the King. It's fine, let them play, it's fine. We're gonna let them, we've got some gifts. And so they brought their gifts forward. And as they took out their gifts, they suddenly realized that this is a poor peasant family. What are they gonna do with these gifts? These were gifts were meant for royalty. So they were really expensive, they were valuable. Giving it to like a carpenter and kind of who lives in this wooden house, you know, something special. But they figured that they brought the gifts and this was the right time. And they made presentations. They made presentations of gold, of frankincense, of myrrh. All very expensive, all very royal gifts that they brought and they gave and presented it to the parents who accepted it on behalf of their children. But this time the baby was fast asleep and the mother had picked him up and put him down for the night, and they kind of all walked out the room and they were standing in the foyer outside kind of chatting and just parents asking like, where are you going to from here? What are you going to do? And the men had just said, well, we've come to do what we've come to do. I guess we should be heading back home. That's what we come to do. We'll probably leave in the morning. And so they kind of all said their goodbyes. All of them struck by this moment. It was actually quite profound. It was a massive moment. What they've seen was the King. They had met him. And they kind of all got on their donkeys, or rather their camels, and they headed off to where they were sleeping, sat down, spoke about it a bit more, as you would, when something really cool happens and you're not really sure what to do with it. So you kind of all chatted around the fire, went to bed, really happy. During the night, each of them were struck by different dreams that just bothered them. And each of them had a dream about this King Herod that they had met, who featured. And in it, what they initially felt when they met him was true, that there was something about him that was wrong. And so they were like, woke up immediately and they said, we better get out of here. We can't go back to the king. Even though the king had invited them back to tell them where this new king was, they were like, we can't tell him. We need to protect this child. And so they kind of got up and they went off in a different direction so that they would not be traced back to Jesus. These three scholars went home, probably with a story again to tell their kids about the day they met the king. They moved on with life. In that time that after that, Herod found out that they had left. He had not come back. He was pretty angry. And so he then ordered, because he was afraid that the new king would replace him, ordered every little boy up to the age of 2 to be killed. That way he could guarantee that he could end this new king's life. The story of the nativity or the magi is one that is interesting, one that is challenging, and one that I would hope that maybe we could take into this new year. More for the fact that there's things that these men do when we read that can be a challenge for us today. If you are, maybe you do notes, here's the first one. The lesson we can learn from these magi or from these scholars, that they were worshipful men. They chose to worship. They chose to worship. They chose to bow and worship him. These were accomplished men. They had achieved many things in life. They were academics. They had experienced wealth. They were experienced prestige. Yet there was something about Jesus that was more powerful than that worldly power. And they saw this baby as worthy of praise. They gave gifts, but not just any gifts. The Bible describes their gifts as treasures. You see, they offer their best for Jesus. Maybe as we go into 2023, church, maybe that's the challenge for us. Can we offer our best for Jesus? Point two, that we can learn from these men. Let us seek him. You see, they are attentive to God's leading. They protect Jesus by taking a different route away from Herod. They allow God to lead them even when it interrupts their plans. How often we are challenged when we have these great ideas and things that we want to do and God steps in and says, no, I don't want you to do that. And we almost go, no, no, but I've planned for this, so I'm going to do it anyway. These men were allowed God to change their plans, even though it meant difficulty, it meant changing, risking things. They still went ahead and allowed. Because why? They were seeking him. They're well-known characters in the Nativity story, but when we dig into their story, we see that their choices and actions are quite radical. They seek him. And our last point is this. Let us offer ourselves. What are you learning from the ways of the wise men who worship Jesus? What are the things we can take from this? Are we willing to listen to God, listen to what scripture says, and then walk accordingly off that, even though it is a bit weird? As we go into 2023, what does worship look like for you? What does worship look like for you? How do you assume the posture of adoration, just like these men who took that time out to worship God? How attentive are you to God leading you? And are you open to go into a different way than what you'd initially planned? On your seat, you would find a cup. It's for breaking bread, and this is what we do. It is something that Jesus has instructed us to do the night before he was betrayed. Said, eat and drink with me. And as churches, as evangelical churches, we do this as a remembrance of what he has done for us. But it also is a meal of celebration. It's also a meal of taking time, of being in a community, of remembering who Christ is and what he's done. In the same way as these men searched and walked and journeyed till they found the Son, I think the same for us today. As we eat and drink together on the 1st of January, 2023, we do it as a group together because we want to be like these men, seeking Jesus for the year to come. So if you could find it, we always say this, but it's quite tricky. So there's two parts to this. There's a plastic layer and that would open to the bread. And then the second layer is the foil, which is the juice. Each of these elements symbolize Christ's body and blood that was spilled for us. And so Jubilee, let me get this open, sorry. There you go. Everyone can open it up. As we go into 2023, let us eat and drink together today as a family, remembering the baby that was born, the 33 years that he had lived, and the man who sacrificed his life so that we all could have eternal life. Let us eat and drink together.